Okay, guys, let's have a prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much for this revelation study in the CBS organization. It's been thrilling for us all. We're all bolder for you by learning these words, and we're grateful for that. Lord, we're just grateful for all the things you do for us, that we're able to meet in this church. We live in the United States where we can worship freely. You're wonderful. We love you, and we just pray that everybody can leave here tonight with something special in their hearts where they can glorify you this week. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. Okay. Welcome. Hopefully the weather's not too bad. It was sleeting before we came in. I want to start off with a little summary for you, though. We're going to be talking about chapter 22, which is the epilogue to Revelation, where God calls us to, you know, obedience, worship, proclamation, and service. But before I get there, Sandy and Helen, Jerry and Holly, and myself and my wife, we attended the CBS conference. And it's 30 years of CBS, 40 years of CBS. There was 1,000 people from all over the world and in the Broadmoor. And why the Broadmoor? Because a great Christian man owns it and he donates it. And so it was a spectacular setting for us to be at. A couple of things I just want to take away is that the ministry is healthy and growing. Believe it or not, that Africa, which used to be a small blip on the radar, has overtaken the United States. So the United States has somewhat about 100,000 people in Bible study. And Africa is like 115, 120 and going like this. And it's amazing because there's four languages that they have Bible study in Africa, not just English. So it's kind of really cool to see that and to see some of the people around. The ministry is very healthy. It wasn't the case 3 years ago. And they did some changes in management out. And now they have got a nice cash cushion. And they're feeling really, really good. A lot of what they talked about, or there was a section that I went to, a special section about a lot of things they're going to do with the membership system to make it easier for you guys to register and then also do electronic lessons on your iPad, iPhone, or to get your lessons anywhere just because you have a password to the membership system. So we're kind of looking forward to that. The first part of it's going to roll out this June. And the electronic stuff's going to be a little later because they got to get some nuts and bolts in place at first. But there's also this big desire of, for those who want the workbooks, they can have them. But that's a really, really big expense for the ministry, and other people will be able to get electronic copies. So kind of excited about that. It was really cool to be there and to see that. And so you see the room. This is when they said 40 years of CBS and everybody had a candle. And then in the bottom right are Sandy and Helen Link. They brought a bunch of cool speakers in, and one of the guy, he's just, his name is Jesus Painter. What a cool thing. What's your name? Jesus Painter. They call him by his occupation, and he starts with a blank canvas, and he did one before a talk and one after a talk, and he just starts splashing black paint all over the place, and the crowd is unaware until he puts the finishing touches on it, and you can see Jesus in the painting. So that was really cool. Just wanted to share that with you. The last thing is, about 2 hours southwest of Colorado Springs is where Jerry has a cabin, and that's the view from his back porch out to the. There's a Spanish name for him, but it's called the Blood of Christ Mountains, right? What's that? Yeah, an unbelievable sunrises, sunsets, really, really cool stuff. Jerry's really been blessed to have it, but God kind of put it in motion for him because when you walk around the house and you start hearing the stories of, oh, yeah, we didn't expect to get that, but the builder had a heart for us and just gave us that fireplace or put the deck on or somebody else donated the furniture. It was really, really for me, being a friend of Jerry for so long, it was really, really cool to see that he has this place. And, you know, right in front of the there's three couches that surround a fireplace. And it's where morning devotionals happen for a couple hours. They just kind of roll, right? Everybody opens their Bibles and starts talking. And there's this gorgeous statue of a cowboy praying. So his horse is in the background, and the cowboy's praying, and clearly somebody spent a ton of money on it because it's bronze and it's gorgeous. And I didn't notice, but it's probably designer. And the really cool thing about it was is a guy got saved on that very spot. And that day he went downtown, saw it, bought it, and brought it back and put it there. So lots of really neat things about it. I'm really happy for Jerry. Jerry's supposed to be here tonight, but he's praying with our brother Lewis, who's up and down, but on his last bits before he goes home to God. And Jerry was going to come and be with you tonight, but he wanted to go be with Lewis and his family, who are having struggles as Lewis is in the final weeks of his life. So we pray. What's that? Mike says it's days, so we pray for Lewis and his family. We keep him in his prayers. This is like the third time you've seen this quote. Surely the Lord does nothing unless he reveals it to his counsel. And it's something that's been recurring to me. And it's been recurring to me all through Revelation is, Revelation is there because we know the story. We know what's going to happen. And he's told us. And as you went through the study, the last 18 weeks, we've seen just tons of references to Jeremiah, Elijah, Isaiah. So it's been told and told and told again. And, you know, one of the things that you think about it is 300 of those 30 prophecies came true in Christ, approximately 330. And the Lord is telling us tonight, this is true, this is true, this is true. I'm coming, I'm coming, I'm coming. We heard it three times. And usually when he says verily, verily, he says it twice. Now he's saying it three times in one chapter. I think this is something we need to pay attention to as we go through here and we study the prologue. One of the things that you guys know I study words, and one of the words he uses in the word urgently is a Greek word called tachque. And it's an urgent word, and it's a word we get our tachometer out of. So you got to think about revving the engines way past 5,000. That's what he's talking. We should be urgent about how we approach all this stuff. So I just always think this is a cool one, that we're told a story, and when this all happens, we're going to know, and people are going to be coming to you for answers, and because you studied Revelation, you're going to be a better spot for it. So great imagery. And the first part of Revelation chapter 22 on the river of life. It's pure, it's holy, it's eternal flowing, it's crystal. When you talk about commentaries, talk about it, it's crystal. You can almost see through it. It flows from the throne, we learned in the lesson tonight. The water, as we know, symbolizes salvation, baptism with water, right? We've all been baptized before, or many of us have. It's eternal life. Jesus tells us we must be born of the Spirit. And this is all really, really cool stuff to start out with, this imagery of what heaven's going to be like, and the river on the trees of life on each sides with the healing of the nation leaves and stuff. This is a great glimpse we have into heaven. And we know that anyone who drinks this water shall thirst again. But whoever, this is from John chapter 4, the woman at the well. Anyone who drinks this water shall thirst again, but whoever drinks the water that I shall give shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give them shall come in him a well of water springing up to eternal life. So it's just cool stuff. It's how, you know, amazing stuff, how the whole Bible fits together and all the stories and parables come together. And I didn't want to lose fact of that here tonight. Next thing that comes up is obedience. And I think that it's important that there's two types of obedience, and I want to talk a little bit about tonight. There's the obedience that, and it's kind of, I got two checkered boards, right? You got chess and checkers, they're both checkerboards, but two completely different games. And there's one way of obedience, which is, oh, I'm afraid I'm going to get put in jail, so I'm not going to do that. I want to do it, but I'm not going to do it because of the penalty. And then there's a strategy of obedience, which is, I love Jesus Christ. I love his words. I know he's watching me, on whatever I'm doing, every thought and every deed. Therefore, my strategy is going to be a strategy of obedience because I love him. And that's really where we want to be in life. We don't want to be a big, harsh God of the Old Testament that would, you know, smite you if you sinned. That's not our God. Our God is a loving God. We know that. We've been through this year upon year for the last decade in here. But our strategy has got to be one of obedience to God. You don't want to be, we don't want to be, and we certainly don't want our friends to be, that person where we talk about in the Gospels where they come to Jesus and Jesus said, you know, they said, I did this and this and this in your name. And Jesus said, I never knew you. Because it's a condition of the heart. You know, it's the condition of our hearts that we have to think about this obedience thing. And it's a strategy. And in the end of the chapter, it talks about non-believers, right? And that's why I'm pulling this one forward from Romans 1. For all they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give him thanks to him, but they became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened. That's pretty sad. I mean, I don't know, you know, you can see it when you talk to people and stuff that just kind of goes blank, like they don't want to hear it. And we need to pray more for those people and keep on proclaiming to them because nobody knows. They could, at the last minute, they could melt, their hearts could melt. So part of this, and maybe the obedience is another word for fearing God. I got this definition from Jerry. It's one of the things we did around his fireplace this week. We were at his place for 2 days, and so we got two Bible study sessions that were kind of, as I said, rolling for hours. But fear God is the continual awareness that the Lord is watching every one of our thoughts, actions, and deeds. And we talked about that earlier. It goes back to the strategy, you know, the strategy of, I think we've talked about things before, like if you're on the road, don't go in a bar by yourself. That's a strategy to try to avoid sin. When that link comes up, you don't click on it, right? I think the psalm is, you know, when you're, you know, turn my eyes from worthless things, Lord. I love that one psalm. What is it? 101:3. Thank you. The Bible Answer Man. I will set no unworthy thing. And I think one of the translations is, I will turn my eyes from worthless things. I like to think about that when, you know, in situations where your eyes wander. But there's other lessons in terms of strategy of obedience. And I wanted to bring them out. It's not just these things that are doing wrong, but it's how to do things right. When you have a conflict with somebody, you take a witness, right? That's a biblical term. That's a strategy of obedience. I love your word, therefore I'm going to be doing these things. Another strategy of obedience that I wanted to share with you is teach your children in the way they should go, right? You teach them all the time in the road, up and down, when you're laying, when you're standing. Those are strategies of obedience. I fear God, and it sounds like this awesome thing of punishment, but it's not. It's a love act, and it's some of the things I want to talk about tonight. These are love acts, you know, all the things that we studied in the Bible that are coming true and are going to become especially true at the end times when we're standing alone and most people are not standing with us. And people are being persecuted and killed and stuff. It's great things to remember. So one of the more important things of this whole concept is a grateful heart. And joy is a source of grateful heart. You know, the fruits of the Spirit, right? Joy, peace, love. You know, and worship in this joy is a trend line. You know, when you start realizing the smaller things in your life that are really, really great, it becomes a trend line of worshiping. I learn more. I worship more. I got to tell you, every morning when I get out of bed, since this, I don't have it on when I get up. My first steps are, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, because today I can get up. And there's been many days where those first two steps out of bed are crushing in pain. You know, and so it's a trend line. It's being thankful for what he's given us. And therefore, we worship him. And then if we worship him, we'll also serve him. So it's like A equals B, B equals C. Therefore, A equals C, that I'm joyful in my worship. And then I have I serve him. And you know, when people say it's a mission to serve, you serve him in everything you do. When you walk into the room tomorrow, you are the light of the world showing up. You are the light of the world. So what are you going to do there? You know, how are you going to act? How are you going to respond? These are great ways that we can be mission in our daily lives, and you don't have to get on a plane and fly 3,000 miles or 5,000 miles someplace to a land where people aren't talking English. You could do it right here. It's a grateful heart. It's our mission of joy worship. You also have an ungrateful heart, and they were described in the end part of the chapter. People who mock the poor. I mean, you've heard them. Or, you know, they'll make fun of somebody who's overweight constantly. They're unrelentless because those people aren't as good as they are. And then after they get done with that, it completely leads them to mocking God, like the thief on the cross. Right? I mean, that's the biggest mocker of God there. And so we see all those things. We also, the one thing that I always say is, and the thing that I think I remember from Jerry spoke last week? No, 2 weeks ago. 2 weeks ago, because Michael spoke last week. Thank you, Michael. That was wonderful. I just want to tell you, we really appreciate all you do as a little side commercial here. You put a lot of time and effort in it, and we really appreciate it. But one of the things that I got from Revelation is, you know, when every man stands in front of the throne, you get your just reward. So every one of these thought deeds, and great and small shall stand in front of the throne. So, you know, you might today think, oh, God, why is that evil person succeeding? They're so evil. Don't worry. There'll be a day when you're standing next to the Lord and they're not, if they truly are evil. So just some thoughts to think about there. So we talked just a couple seconds ago about worship. And I grew up on the left side of this. So that's how we were when they started singing in church. Right? Stoic. Singing is what, the woman did. Right? And we never sang much. And on the right side, we got the picture of David as the ark comes back into Jerusalem, and he's dancing. He was dancing crazily. I remember his wife at the time said, oh, my God, you're the king. How could you do this? And he's like, no, I can't. And brought to mind Proverbs 26, I washed my hands in innocence and go around your altar, O Lord, proclaiming thanksgiving aloud and telling all of your wondrous deeds. So a couple of things on worship as we move forward here. I was never big on it. As I said, I didn't grow up in it. And when I first became a Christian, I read a book that said worship was, you know, singing to the Lord was a natural thing. Now, I'm not, you guys know, I am not the best singer at all. Far from it. I think that when I sit next to my children, they hold their ears like this because they can actually sing in harmony and I can't. Yeah, he's smiling. He knows. But I think it's important that if you turn towards worship, you'll have more peace, joy, love. You know, I've come a long way, and I encourage you to try and come a long way. I think I've talked to you before about at church one night I went to service, and after service they said, we're going to have 5 hours of worship and praise. And my wife is out of town, and I said, well, I'm going to do that. I can't tell you how just wondrous it was. And how quickly the time flew by. I mean, you think about 5 hours of worship and praise. And it was just awesome. And then what happened is, you guys also know that I like country music, right? And I've given you songs here before. I take lyrics before. We try to make lessons out of them. One of the things I did after this worship was I turned off the country music and turned on praise. And I got to tell you something. I'm doing it now 98% of the time. But my best days are after I take those first two steps in the morning I talked about, I've got a praise song in my head. And I think that Chris was talking about one of his favorite lines tonight, and that was, your mercies are new every morning, right? He's the bright morning star. What a way to start the day. So I'm going to challenge you all to, you know, for the next 30 days, try praise music instead of rock and roll or I'm sure a lot of you listen to classic, right? Yeah. Blues. Electronic. But try praise. And I'm telling you, that song, it sticks in your head. And it just brings joy and peace to your life. I missed something here along the way because I got excited, moved along too fast. Okay, I really went too fast. The verse I want you to think about, go back to Grateful Heart for just 1 second, is Ephesians 4:1-4. Therefore, the prisoner for the Lord, Paul is a prisoner for the Lord. That's his strategy. I urge you to live worthy of the calling which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, patience, bearing with one another in love, making every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body, one Spirit. Just as you were called to the one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God. So I just forgot to share that with you. Moving along. So a natural thing is from a grateful heart and heartfelt worship is proclamation. In 22:11, if the man rejects the message, let them be that way forever. It's the end of time. This is the final rejections that they're talking about. We've talked a lot about, as you go through Revelation, it's time to stop soft pedaling and push harder. In fact, we were talking in the leaders group, and 80% of us, and probably 100% if it was all in everybody's heart, we've been bolder for the Lord. We all can learn. And we've been bolder by studying Revelation. So I encourage you to be bolder. A couple of things that I think you can do is, as you all know, I sold my software firm in October, and I'm out looking for a new one. And there's little ways that you can be bold for the Lord. When people look for firms, there's certain projects, whether they're selling one or looking for one. So we had to come up with a project name. And we're looking for something that we can rebuild to provide value in. And so what did we call our project name? Nehemiah, right? Because we're going to rebuild something. We're going to take something in there that's not as good, and we're going to rebuild it. And that becomes a testament. It becomes our way to worship God. It's our strategy. It's how it all works together. And so I encourage you to find ways like that to be bold and talk about Christ. But also, there's little clever things you can do. You don't always have to be anybody. Why is it called Nehemiah? Was asked that today. Great opportunity, right? Because when somebody asks you a question like that, you get to move forward. The last part of our chapter talks about service. And we all know that Paul many times talked about running the service, or running for the Lord. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, do you not know that in a race all runners run, but only one receives a prize, so run that you may attain it? This is a theme. We're seeing the prologue, the final things in Revelation. These are the things he's reminding me. These are the things I want to remind you of. These are things that we have to get out there and do. Run that race of worship and service in honor of the Lord. Then the most important thing, and I love this picture, because at the end of the race, there's our reward. Right? That's a great pick of our reward. And that warm embrace has got to be one of the most unbelievable feelings anybody could have, because he's coming soon. And he told us 3 times. So that's what I wanted to remind you tonight. That's what the Holy Spirit put on my heart. What I'd like to do is I'd like to end. I'm going to turn off the mic because we're going to sing a song. And if you'd all stand and sing with Matt Redman in this one, 10,000 Reasons.
Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Oh my soul. Worship his holy name. Sing like never before. Oh my soul. I worship your holy name. The sun comes up. It's a new day dawning. It's time to sing your song again. Whatever may pass and whatever lies before me, let me be singing when the evening comes. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Oh my soul. Worship his holy name. Sing like never before. Oh my soul. I worship your holy name. You're slow to anger. Your name is great and your heart is kind. For all your goodness I will keep on singing. 10,000 reasons for my heart to find. So bless the his holy name. Sing like never before. Oh my soul, I worship your holy name. Bless you, time has come. Still my soul will sing your praise unending. 10,000 years and then forevermore. Forevermore. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Oh my soul. Worship his holy name. Sing like never before. Oh my soul, I worship your holy name. Come on. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Oh my soul, worship his holy name. Your holy name, Lord, I worship your holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul. Worship your holy name. worship your holy name.